Yeah, did you hear that? The question is, it's a point that was raised in the discussion group, that very often in our quiet times we don't feel like doing it, because our emotional state is not conducive, I guess, to doing it at that time, or we don't feel when we've done it that we've benefited hugely from it. I think all of us would agree that both these feelings are not atypical of our quiet times. But I think, like you said in your group, that we mustn't be guided by that in order whether or not we do it, nor guided in a sense as to what we get out of it at that instant. You know, I think very often when you preach a sermon as a preacher and you think it's one of your worst ever, very often someone will come to you either then or afterwards and say that they benefited from it significantly. And I think sometimes with my quiet times, when I feel the worst and the least like doing them, it's subsequent to doing them that I benefit from it. But I think that's a very perceptive point, because our emotions do fluctuate, but that shouldn't determine whether or not we do it. And I guess that's where discipline will kick in a combination with desire to do them. Well, knowledge, Packer goes on in his book, Knowing God, he differentiates knowing about God from knowing God. He makes a differentiation between two people: one who knows about God, who lives the same life day in, day out, the more he knows more about God. Yeah? But the person who has a knowledge of God, the more they deepen that knowledge of God, the more their life changes in conformity to be like the God with whom they have knowledge about. Now, when we become Christians, we have the capacity, Peter says, because of what Christ has done through his promises, for everything we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him. So the more I know about God or Jesus, the more Christ-like I become. The more I make decisions that are different, the more I make decisions that are more in accord with Scripture, the more I give myself to serve God, I guess. How that works out in your feelings, it doesn't give me ecstasy or that sense. Sometimes it does, but rarely, to be honest. I guess it's an assurance, a knowledge that I'm becoming more Christ-like. I'm not sure if that answers your question. Don't know if you want to add, Marcus, to that, or Jane. So on. It's difficult to pin down. I mean, all I can say is there's a world of a difference between head knowledge and knowledge that changes my life. See, I know God in a person. We're going to come to this now. We're going to talk about the word Abba, Father, when you pray. That we have access to God. And when we come to our knees, or wherever, standing, sitting, kneeling, lying, whatever we do to pray, we talk to God. And that changes our lives. It changes the effect of our prayers. Yep. Oh, it is experiential. It's experiential because we have a Trinity: Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Spirit works in our hearts. We're going to talk about that now when we pray. The Spirit intercedes with us. It groans with us as we pray. Moves us as we pray. Yeah, it is experiential. Of course it is. But what experience we feel emotionally, I think, can change. And it can come back to what you said, you know, that our emotions can mask, in a sense, that. But does that answer your question? It's not easy to answer. Well, let me just give you a very simple example, and I said earlier that the more you seek to become godly, the more you realise you're sinful. There are things that I would not do in my life now that I did 5 years ago without a thought. because I've got to know God better, and I know that it offends him, that's one edge of it, and I know that I don't want to do it anymore because I've got to know God better. And that's experiential, that's lived out, I guess, in my life. Good question though, but like all the good questions, hard to answer.
Wrongs.
Oh, they're all going up now. Oh no.
What do you think about this thing of reading the Bible in a year?
Yep.
And do you think it's valuable, or do you think it? I mean, I'm thinking in terms of some things are much more difficult to digest than others.
Yep.
And should you just keep on going on a project when you're kind of drying up mentally, so you can do your X amount of pages and how you feel about that?
Yeah, my wife grew up in a home, a lovely, godly Christian home, and she was made to read 3 chapters of the Bible from age 4, plus family devotions. Now, what that means now, it was wrong, yes, that was wrong, but she knows the Bible inside out, top to bottom and left to right, and that's a great resource for her now. So the answer is partly yes. I think there are tough bits when you get to Leviticus, and you've just done Leviticus, so not for you. There are tough bits of Scripture. Although when you do come to these tough bits of Scripture, you find that there is great stuff in them, fantastic stuff in them. I put at the back of the sheet this book by Don Carson. This book, Don Carson, For the Love of God, Volumes 1 and 2. What he does is he goes through Robert Murray McShane, who's a Scottish minister from the 19th century, his scheme of daily Bible readings. What he does is he has a short half-page devotional addition to that to help you fathom or understand them. I think it's a great principle to read the Bible through in a year. My experience is that it's hard to do it, and I found myself coming back and having a whole day to catch up from time to time. But I think it's a good thing to do, and I think it's that book is excellent because he sort of steers you through the sections. McChain's model also has, if you have families, if you're married, if children, time together in the family for Bible study as well. So I think it is a good thing to do, but there'll be difficult times in it. Question over here. Well, I think, I guess, all I can do is speak from my experience and those I know. What we do as a family every night, I would say this is devotional quiet time for us, a family. This is the issue of whether you do it on your own or with your spouse or with your children. We sit down every night and we teach them the Bible stories. We teach them Bible stories, we use the Christian Focus books mostly to do that, and we pray with them. We work through a model of thanking God, saying sorry to God, praying to God for someone and something, and it's quite mechanical, it's quite religious. I think our children become religious before they are converted in a way, and I think that's okay to do that with them. We have Bible quizzes once a week, all that kind of stuff, and that's the way I think and our children come to church with us because we go to church. They read the Bible with us at night because we do that. What Sally does with them, I think, is great. Is we have families singing together. She plays the piano and we sing Bible songs together, and they love that. They enjoy it. And I think just use your common sense. When the time comes for them to go and read the Bible on their own and to pray on their own, I prayed often on my own as a child, but I prayed the Lord's Prayer. And it was was it wrong or not? I didn't understand what I was doing. And I think, I don't know how old your child is to be before you say to them, well, you go and pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. But that time will come. But I think the family dynamic, that's the best and most important home group if we have families in the church, our children. It's a great question, though. Because we've got to influence them. I think that's right. Any other questions? Well, there'll be time tomorrow. so, or to speak to me, and I've embraced a number into the talks that people have mentioned to me, so please do that as we work through. Great.